This evening, look with me to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to say thank you for your hospitality this weekend. It's been lovely to be with you each service through the couples conference. And then this morning, just the welcome. I want to say thank you for the room. What are you calling that? I'm not sure. I don't remember what you said. The Prophet's Chamber. Well, we thank you for letting us stay there. It's comfortable. And I know you just finished it, and I know that took a lot of work. So we thank you for that, but we're glad to be here. Enjoyed that missions video. This is going to sound weird, okay, because it is just a little bit. We're sitting here. We're watching the video. It's your missionary. And then in the video, I see a friend of mine. And sadly, I recognized him. This is the weird part, okay? If you remember anything about the video, you probably didn't even look over it. No, where they came to the new kitchen, he was the guy bent over laying in the sink from the back. And I'm like, I know him. Now, let me explain. His name is C.J. White. He's a missionary builder, and he's over in Africa right now doing a couple of projects for some missionaries, and we've been friends, goodness, since 2009 is when we first met the White family. Our son Asher was in kindergarten, and he came home, and he would always tell us about his friend David White, and it was never David, it was always David White. Always, if he mentioned David, it was always, well, David White said this today, and David White said this, and then he said, David White invited me to his birthday party, can I go? And we had to ask him one day, we said, why do you always say David White? And then he explained, he said, well, we have David White, and then we have David, what was the other David's last name? I don't know, because he never talked about him, but the teacher always called David White, David White, and the other David, the other David. But David White was Asher's friend. And we met the White family through Asher, our son, and we became just instant friends with this family. And about 2 or 3 years later, they had a burden. CJ's a contractor in Mobile. He sold his contracting company, got his family out of debt, and they've been serving churches now around the world for over 10 years now. The reason I can say and look at a picture like that and say, yeah, that's CJ, because he's done 3 projects for us over the years. And so I've seen that position before, and he's a faithful servant. And so it was exciting to see. I think Rachel took a video. We'll send it to them. And we just praise the Lord for that. Thank you for your faithfulness here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We do pray for you. We pray for your pastor. It's hard to know someone, like he said, as a teenager, because you sometimes get stuck there. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. When I get around him, I feel like I'm 16, 17 years old again. And then I stand up, begin to move, and I realize I'm not. But you get that way, and it's fun. And so it's always a pleasure to be around him and Miss Dawn. And they've been a great influence in my life, and we're just glad to be here tonight. You don't think about usually when you're 15, 16 of 30 years from now. And if you do, you're usually wrong, okay? I praise the Lord for what He has done in my life, for where He's brought me from and to. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture this evening in 1 Kings 17. That I hope will be a blessing to you. I hope it will help you in your walk with Christ. And I mentioned this morning that we go from faith to faith. And I think faith is one of the most excellent parts of the Christian life because it's life-changing. Faith is the unknown of what is the next step. But I also believe that faith doesn't always have to be faith. Faith can become sight. Faith can become knowing. And that's what our scripture this morning was talking about. There are times where we believe, but we don't believe. And then there are times when we know. And as Pastor said this morning, he said there are times when you have to borrow someone else's faith. And he wondered, was I going to say anything about it? It's the first point. And so I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. And we are, so that's good. But let's read together some passages from 1 Kings 17, and then we'll jump right into this today. But the Bible says this, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be not dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And he came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks, and he called to her, and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for your goodness to us. God, we sit here and stand here this evening as a people of faith. But Father, as we talked about this morning, sometimes our faith is weak. Sometimes our faith is small, and sometimes it is great. And so God, I pray that you would remind us of the days that have gone before us, that we can turn around and look back to see what at one time was faith, but you've shown us exactly what you can do. God, may we tap into those days that they might encourage us even now. God, I don't know what these people face. We don't know what we'll face this evening, tomorrow, for we know at a moment's notice our faith must increase, must become stronger. And so, God, I pray that this message would be in preparation for just that. In those days that lie ahead, that we might have faith in you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I do think that faith is one of the most amazing gifts that God has given to people. We know He defines it in His Word, in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I want to remind you this evening that faith requires something of us. And it's something that it requires each and every time. And it is this, very simple. Faith always requires an action. It always requires an action. Faith never sits still unless it is by faith that we are to wait. But when you think about waiting, there's still a little bit of an action there. I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good waiter. Not waiting on a table or anything like that. I feel like I could do that. But just sitting and waiting, I get bored. I get distracted. I get a little uneasy. I don't like to wait. And yet, there are times in my life where God says, just wait a minute. Just sit still and wait. Now again, I don't like that, but it's still an action that He's called for us to do. Now in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." If you're saved tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been justified by the blood of Jesus. You've been justified to do something, to be set aside, and the process here. But notice, it says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. There's not one of us that have come to Christ without some, usually multiple, human instruments that God has used. It's usually not just one, it's multiple. From faith to faith. Someone came to faith before you. And they took their faith and they shared it with you. Now you may say, well, no, I didn't have a human instrument. I found a gospel tract. Well, think about how many hands go into a gospel tract. Think about it. Somebody had to write that tract. Put it down on paper and say, this is going to help someone. Then somebody had to print that tract. Somebody had to bottle the ink that printed that tract. Somebody had to put the printer together. Somebody had to plug it in. Then somebody had to distribute and put it out there. I mean, by the time you get to one track, even if somebody just finds it without somebody handing it to them, there's probably a good dozen people involved in that track before it ever got to you. From faith to faith. I think that's what you were kind of referring to this morning. From faith to faith. But then there's another aspect to faith, and it's this. Faith usually starts off in one place and then progresses. Now, I understand when it comes to our salvation, it's probably the biggest step of faith that we'll ever make in our human life. To trust what God did on the cross of Calvary to save us. And we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a big deal. But can I tell you, I feel a little sorry and maybe a little pity on those that never get past simply trusting in Christ, as unsimple as that is. But I will tell you, there is so much more to the Christian life when you live it by faith beyond salvation. God wants you to experience so much more than just that, and I'm not making any lightness of that, I promise. It's the greatest decision we can ever make. But it's not as simple as just getting saved and then you go and do your own thing. No. God wants to do something great and mighty in your life. And again, I mentioned this morning, again, sometimes we go to that from believing to unbelieving to believing to unbelieving. We go back and forth. But there is a progress that we can make, and I believe we find that here in this chapter in 1 Kings 17. And I want to give you a few things from this chapter and then into chapter 18 as we look at this morning. I want you to see, first off, in this very first part, we're introduced to Elijah. And it says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, he said unto Ahab, Ahab's the king of Israel. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The preparation to speak to the king was uncomfortable. Listen, sometimes faith is uncomfortable. You ever been there? Now look, we know a little bit here. We can make some suppositions about what's taking place here. Because in verse number 3, he says, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself." He says, "All right, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to tell King Ahab, it's not going to rain these years until you say so." Now, people did not just get an audience with the king. The king had power to do whatever he wanted to do within the land. And Ahab, we know, was not a good king. And so Elijah goes, gives his announcement to the king. And then God says, "All right, go and hide." Now imagine how uncomfortable Elijah had to have been in giving that message. He wasn't going to see Ahab again until 3.5 years later. Why? Because he was hiding out. And so we can assume that the preparation to speak to the king was uncomfortable. And I think about how faith, sometimes we come in and it's like, okay, I've got to do this. I mentioned this morning, the first time I preached, oh man, I tell you, it was a disaster. I mean, it was a disaster, in my opinion. But I had to, by faith, as uncomfortable as it was, get up and read a portion of Scripture. And then you have to look at people. Have you ever seen you? It's uncomfortable sometimes. And we wonder, you know, can you tell if I'm nervous? Can you tell this? Can you tell that? And we come to this first step of faith, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. But once you get to this first step of faith, even in the uncomfortableness, God says, "All right, I want you to take another step." And you go from faith to faith. So for Elijah, he's about to take another step of faith. God said, "I want you to go and tell Ahab." That was step number one. As uncomfortable as it was, he says, "I want you to take another step of faith. And I want you to go and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. There you'll have some water to drink. And the ravens, well, Elijah, they're going to feed you there." The next step of faith, that progression, was unconventional. It was unconventional. Here's what I mean by that. Faith does not always make sense. Amen. Now think about it with me. The ravens are going to feed you there. You know anything about a raven? They're stingy. They're stingy. Ravens, as a matter of fact, they will find a dead carcass. They will alert other animals to come and ravage the dead carcass, swoop down, chase them away, and steal the carcass. What they want. Then they will go and hide it. Because they're selfish. Then they will go and follow other birds where they put their take, and they will steal it. Now, does this sound like a bird you can trust? And yet God said, "Elijah, I want you to leave there, and I want you to come over here and trust an untrustworthy bird to feed you." And Elijah went by faith, trusting what God said. It was unconventional. It was unconventional. But he showed up. He's hiding out. And he's there for days, probably weeks. And every morning, the raven would come, deliver Elijah's food. Ravens are actually pretty smart. They say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I read it. They say that ravens remember human faces. The raven, come by in the morning. Here's some bread, Elijah. Here's some carcass, cook it up. The evening, same thing. Because Elijah progressed in his faith. But it hadn't rained, right? Because Elijah said so. And so, the brook dried up. That's a bummer. Because guess what you need to live? Water. And so, here's Elijah. He goes to Ahab. Ahab, it's not going to rain till I say so. Ahab. All right, God, I'll go hide myself by the brook. Drink some water. Ravens will come. They'll feed me there. That's wonderful. We've been here for a while. But the brook dries up. Now, let me ask you something. If God can make a stingy, untrustworthy bird, you follow this. If he can make a stingy, untrustworthy bird bring Elijah food, why couldn't he make the brook continue to give him water? You don't know, do you? You're like, tell us. Well, I'll tell you. I don't know. Well, I can tell you this. He can, but he chose not to. Because sometimes God chooses for you to take another step of faith. And so, God said, Elijah, brook's dried up. You're going to need some water. You're going to go to Zarephath. And by the way, I've prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. She's going to take care of you. But you got to go. You got to leave the brook. You got to leave the ravens because I've prepared her there. Okay. Well, that step of faith worked because it hasn't rained. This step of faith worked until it didn't. So now I'm going to go over here to Zarephath, which, by the way, was not in Israel. Let's not forget that. As a matter of fact, it was the birthplace of Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. Probably because Ahab wasn't about to look here. Okay? So he says, go there, I've prepared for thee a widow woman. So he leaves the brook, he comes over to the widow woman that God told him, I've prepared her to sustain you. Except, he didn't tell her. Did you catch that? Look at that. He didn't tell the widow. He only told Elijah. Look real quick. It says, after it came to pass, the brook dried up in verse 7. God says in verse 9, go to Zidon. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. He called to her. Said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going, he called, pray me, bring a morsel of bread, he said. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Does this sound like a woman that's prepared? Not done to me. She's ready to die. She is preparing to die. She says, I'm about to go in. I'm gathering two sticks, not four, because all I need is two. Because this is all I've got left. And after that, we're done. My son and I, we're finished. See, she didn't have any faith at all. You know what she was about to have to walk in? Elijah's faith. That's hard. So while the preparation to speak to the king was uncomfortable, the progression to the brook was unconventional. But the progression to the widow was uninvited. She didn't invite Elijah. But God prepared her. She just didn't know it. So Elijah tells her, we see what he says. He says, don't fear. Don't fear. Can I just remind you here? You don't have to fear in the face of faith when God leads you. As fearful as it can be, there should not be any fear in faith. But she didn't get that memo. She was unprepared to have guests. But Elijah had to share his faith with her. Now imagine, if you will, if this was you or me. We show up. Ma'am, get us a drink of water. Oh, by the way, bake me a cake. I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. It's been a little while since I ate and drank something. God, He told me You'd take care of that. I don't know what you're talking about, sir. Now, how many of us, be honest, just for a moment in your heart, do you stop and say, are you kidding me? You told me You prepared her, God. She's not ready for anything. I can't believe this. How many times have you stalled in your faith? Seriously. I mean, it's like you get so excited, you come over here, and it's like, okay. All right, Ahab, here you go. All right, step two. All right, it's working out. Okay, it's not working out too great, but over here, all right, we come to step three, and it's like, whoa, wait a second. This isn't working out. And then we stop. Now look, Elijah had to go beyond what she was saying to do what God said He would do. He had to tell her, ma'am, don't worry about it. You just go in, you bake me a cake. You bake it for me first, by the way. Yeah. Go ahead, give me that water. You bake that cake. Then make one for you and your son. You do that, and I'm going to tell you something. That cruse of oil and that barrel of meal, it won't run out. Guess what she had to do? She had to travel in Elijah's faith. That's a big deal. She had to travel in Elijah's faith to say, okay, let's go. So she went in, she baked that cake. And then she baked a cake for her and her son. Man, it was glorious. Because that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil, it didn't run out. As a matter of fact, she said, hey, why don't you plan to stay for a little while? I got a loft upstairs you can stay in. Your loft is upstairs. Yeah. I've got a loft you can stay in. You just go on up there. You make yourself at home. And in the morning, I'll have that cake for you, sir. And every morning, she baked that cake because the meal never ran out. It never ran out. But it came to pass in verse number 17. Something else happened. It was a big deal. Because it says, and it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son.
Amen.
And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? The preparation to speak to the king was, well, it was uncomfortable. I'm certain Elijah didn't want to do that. But he did. And that helped him get to the brook that was unconventional. It didn't make much sense, but it worked until it didn't. Progression to the widow was uninvited, but I'll tell you, the progression to the loft was totally unexpected. The woman didn't see it coming. Elijah certainly didn't see it coming. But it happened. Now listen. Elijah didn't have much to say here. He didn't answer any of her questions. Because he didn't have any answers. Look what she asked. What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Listen, this was not said kindly, I guarantee it. She wanted to know, art thou come to call my sin to remembrance? To slay my son? Are you judging me, sir? For my sin? He didn't have an answer for those questions. All he said to her was, just give him to me. Now listen. He didn't say, give him to me, because he was confident either. He didn't have any clue what he was about to do. He didn't know what was about to happen. And so by faith, though, he said, give me thy son. And he didn't do it in front of her. He took him up to his loft. He laid him down on the bed. And Elijah had some questions of his own. He said, in verse 20, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn? Now understand, in the Old Testament, evil is not in the same usage that you and I use today. It simply means something that is unfortunate, unhappy, in sorrow or distress or misfortune. But he's still asking, God, did you bring this unfortunate event, this unhappy event, this sorrowful event, did you bring this distress upon this woman with whom I sojourn? God, did you take this boy? Whew. That's a hard question, isn't it? Sometimes the unexpected happens. The widow woman lost her faith. But can I tell you something about the prophet's faith? It was mingled with doubt. He had faith enough to say, give me thy son. And he wasn't about to question God in front of her. But when he was alone and he laid the child down, he still said, God, I don't get it. Faith is sometimes mingled with doubt. But he said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. He stretched himself upon the child three times. And that's what he prayed. And that's what he begged for God to do something. Because he said, God, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's happening here. But I know what I know. And that if anything is possible, you can do it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. How did Elijah know that was possible? Because he took that step. He said, Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so. It's not going to rain until I say so. And guess what? Up to that day, it hadn't rained. So here's Elijah. He's all the way over here on step four. And he's saying, God, I don't know what's happening here, but I know what you did there. Back when I told Ahab it wasn't going to rain, it hadn't rained since then. God, I know what you did for me at the brook and that water. Oh, it was so good. So cold. Those ravens. You know, old Bob, he'd bring it every morning. I don't know if his name was Bob or not, but I'm sure Elijah gave him a name. But old Bob would bring him breakfast, bring him dinner every day. He said, God, I remember just a few weeks ago, you let me tell the widow woman that you commanded to sustain me. And that meal hasn't run out. And that oil is still going. God, would you let this boy's soul come back to him? Would you? I don't know what's going on here, God, but you've got to do something. Listen, sometimes all the faith we have to have is to know that God can do it. And he said, oh, wait. And that third time, notice it wasn't on the first time. It wasn't on the second time. But that third time, Elijah said, God, would you, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. Whew. Listen. Sometimes that faith is mingled with doubt. But that is why we must go from faith to faith to faith to faith, knowing that God has, He did, and He'll do it again. But you got to keep asking. You got to keep asking. You got to keep knocking. You got to keep saying, God, would you? I know you can. While I don't understand it, while I don't get it, I know you can. As unexpected as this was, God, would you? God did. The boy revived. Verse 23 says, Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house. Delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now listen, that's just like a preacher. I couldn't tell you how many times I've had people ask, hey, are you sure about this? Yeah, I'm sure. No, I'm not. I'm not sure about it, but I'm sure about him. And then it goes right and it goes well and God moves and God does something. It's like, see, I told you God would do it. See, thy son liveth. Then the woman said to Elijah, she said, now by this, what's those next two words? I know. Guess what? She wasn't sure before that. The meal not running out wasn't enough for her. The oil keep going wasn't enough for her. But her son coming back again, that was enough for her to go from faith to knowing. Whoo! She said, by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Elijah didn't say anything to her other than, give me thy son. That's all he said. When she saw that boy up walking, she said, oh my. She said, now I know. I wasn't sure before, but now I know. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced that Elijah wasn't even sure. I think he was still wondering, God, what are you doing here? Go from, tell Ahab, I know it hasn't rained, but then the brook dries up. You don't tell the widow woman. Then her son dies. This is all just, it's unusual. But I'll tell you something. In that third year, when you get into chapter 18, 3 years later, by the way, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. and there was a sore famine in Samaria. He said, all right, Elijah, it's time for you to go. I can't tell you that Elijah reviewed every step of faith that he had been to up to that point. But Elijah had enough faith that he went to Ahab. And he said, Ahab, you let Ahab know it's going to rain. Now Ahab wanted to know, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Of course, we know it wasn't Elijah that troubled Israel. It was Ahab that troubled Israel. It was Ahab's fault that God hadn't sent rain those 3.5 years. But he wasn't getting it. So we know, and we'll move a little further here into the chapter where we see Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, where he's challenged the prophets of Baal. The people of Israel have gathered around. The famine is sore. The rain hasn't come. The crops haven't grown. People are desperate to see something, to see anything. And so Elijah says to the prophets of Baal, he says, well, let's just have a contest. He says, whichever God answers by fire, let him be God of Israel. Let him be God of Israel. And if you know the story well, they go to the top of Carmel. Elijah tells him in verse 25, he says, choose you a bullock, dress it. They dressed it. And from the morning to the evening, the prophets of Baal cried out to him, answer by fire. And I love Elijah's sarcasm. As he said, maybe he's on a trip. He's not there. Maybe he's sleeping and can't hear you. You need to cry louder. And they did. And they cut themselves. And they cried louder to no avail. In verse 27, it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them. Said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing or he's on a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they said, oh, yeah, you're probably right. So they cried louder, cut themselves, but nothing. Till the evening. Then verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, he said, come near unto me. And all the people came near. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Took 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid them on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it out on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. 63 words of faith. He said that thy people might know. 63 words is all he prayed. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Amen. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Whew. Faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. I love this story. The fire falling from heaven with just 63 words. But I want to remind you of something. It still hasn't rained. Elijah went to Ahab and said, "Ahab, it's going to rain." The fire falling wasn't the final step of faith for Elijah. It was great. It was good. It was victorious. But it wasn't over. They're over there chopping the heads off the prophets of Baal. Elijah says, "Ahab, you better go. It's going to rain." Verse 41. He said, "Get thee up, eat, drink. For there is a sound of abundance of rain." Let me tell you something, folks. There was no sound and there was no abundance of rain. There wasn't. Elijah secluded himself. He goes a little further up into the mountain. Takes a servant with him. He gets down. He places his face between his knees. He says, "I can't look. I can't see." He says, "Go and..." Tells his servant, "Go and look. See if you see any clouds." The servant goes, and there's nothing. He comes back. "Hey, Elijah, hey, I don't see anything." Elijah said, "Go again." And he went again and came back. "Hey, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. Go again." This happened 6 times. Each time, the servant came back, said, "There's nothing." 7th time, Elijah said, "Go again." Servant goes. He comes back. He says, "Hey, Elijah. Hey. I see a cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand." Elijah said, "What? Really? Yeah. About the size of a man's hand. Not a big cloud, but a cloud nonetheless." Elijah gets up. Somehow he beats Ahab to the city. And that sound of abundance of rain, oh, it fell. And that cloud grew. That cloud grew just like Elijah's faith. Step one, step two, step three. Listen, that last step was unprecedented. Fire fell from heaven. That hadn't happened before. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years because Elijah said so. And now, there it is. Can you see Elijah as that rain fell? I told you this morning I'm a visual person. I can see Elijah just standing there in the rain. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, hold on a second. Here's the principle. Elijah went to Ahab in step one. He said, "Ahab's not going to rain until I say so." Now go hide yourself by the brook. Now that first step, it was uncomfortable. As unconventional as this step was, the brook still dried up. Here's the problem. Here's the issue so many times. Now look, we want to see the rain. We want to see it. We want to see God do something miraculous in the loft. We want God to take over here. But listen to me. If we can't get past the dried up brooks in our life, we'll never see God do all of that over there. The brook dried up. Okay. Imagine Elijah though. Wait a second. God, are you kidding me? You brought me here. You told me to come here. And you're going to dry this brook up? I can't believe this. Stupid Bob. Do you have anything to do with this? Can't believe it. I'm done. Just walk away from the brook. Dejected. Faithless. As if we'll do better on our own. Why didn't God just keep the brook going? Why didn't God just keep the brook going? I'm going to tell you why. Because very likely Elijah never would have taken the next step. The brook had to dry up. Elijah had to become uncomfortable again. The widow woman's son, dead. If he hadn't gone from faith to faith to faith, I'm convinced the widow's woman's son still would have died. He just wouldn't have lived again. But Elijah was there where God wanted him to be because the brook dried up. And when that happened, Elijah then had enough faith to go stand before Ahab once again. That he was thinking along the way, once Ahab finds out I'm here, he's going to kill me. But that widow woman said, now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. And God said, all right, Elijah, you've gone from faith to faith to faith to faith. Now go tell Ahab it's going to rain. The fire fell. The rain came because he was able to get past the dried up brook. Let me tell you something. When the rain fell, guess what flowed once again? You think that brook stayed dry? No, sir. No, ma'am. That brook flowed once again, just like it did when Elijah was there. But he had to get there for that to happen. Get past the dried up brooks of your life. Get past them. Because you'll never see God do over here what He wants to do in your life. Don't quit. Don't stop. And do this. Encourage one another along the way. This widow woman had to encourage him. Even when she didn't know she was. When you see somebody hurting and longing, give them a word of encouragement. Show them kindness. Sometimes Christians can be the cruelest among people. That shouldn't be so. I've seen people that, man, they've been out of church for 4 or 5 months and they show back up and somebody makes that joke of, hey, get them a visitor's packet. Don't get them a visitor's packet. Give them a hug. It took faith to walk through those doors again. Rejoice. Give them a visitor's packet. Come on. And I know we think it's funny, but it's not. And they may laugh, but inside, your faith must progress in and through the Christian life as you walk with God. Some of you are at the beginning of your journey. You're just listening to God for the first time. Keep going. I want you to see the rain. It's beautiful. You say, "Preacher, I haven't seen the rain in a long time." I know, but it's amazing. I can't prove this, but I'd like to think that when that rain fell that day, that God threw up one of those rainbows. I can't prove that He did. And I wish we had time to go into Elijah's depression right after this. You can read it for yourself. But I'll remind you as I close, when he did, God didn't kick him when he was down. He just said, "Hey, remember that widow woman? She sustained you. She's not here this time. But I've got an angel." He sent somebody from heaven this time. He said, "Sleep on, Elijah. Sleep on. Get some rest." And then God continued to use him after that. But he spoke to him in a still, small voice and continued to use him. But gave him a companion after that too. Progression of faith. It just keeps going. It just keeps going. Then, one day a whirlwind of fire came. Amen. And a chariot came by. Said, "Elijah, you want to ride?" Said, "I believe I will." Progression of faith. One day that chariot's going to come by for me. I'm going to go on a ride. From faith to faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. And that faith will one day become sight. Look back at your life. You're having a struggle. The brook's drying up. Just look back. Say, "Oh, I remember that time when God provided this. I remember that time when God did this." You're coming up on 25 years, right? Next year. God's done a work in 25 years. Yes. I remember when some of you showed up here for the first time. You too. Where's Aaron? There you are. I remember when you showed up. An Aaron never forgets an Aaron. It's thrilling. Some of you have only been here a few months, maybe. It's thrilling. But you look back and see all that God has done. Don't give up. Don't quit by the brook. Keep going. Get past it. Because the faith life is a wonderful life. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You have done. God, many times in my life, and I'm sure in the lives of these people, my faith has been mingled with doubt. Thank You for proving Yourself once and again and again and again. May we know what Elijah knew as he prayed, that You're God and we are not, and that You can do the impossible. You are mighty, You are strong, You are true and faithful. And God, I pray for those that are by the brook tonight and they're looking at it drying up. Would You show them the next step? May they follow You from faith to faith. Help us in this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.